Manhood Hour is coming up in the third hour today. Manhood Hour. And speaking of manhood, I have with me Eric McElroy. Eric McElroy, he is a stand-up comedian and writer, originally from Seattle. Eric moved to the U.K., so he's now living in the U.K. He has appeared on BBC, Sky News, and regularly on talk radio. Eric, thank you for being on with me. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. Hello.
Good to meet you. How did you why did you decide to move to the U.K.?
It was just, well, it's almost 20 years ago. I got an opportunity to have a job. I used to work in higher education and got a job at a university, an American-style university here in London. And so did that for a while and then started doing stand-up comedy once I got here, because the comedy scene in London is pretty fantastic, and started gigging. And 20 years later, here I am.
I noticed that you picked up the London accent.
Do I sound British?
Yeah.
All right. Coming from Seattle originally, it's not like one of those strong, distinct sort of New York Southern accents,
right,
kind of thing. So yeah. I think I'm a fairly soft-spoken American as it is anyway.
And you like it over there better than here in the United States?
I like there's not necessarily better or worse. London is an amazing world city, like Los Angeles, like New York. It's an incredible place to be. I like being close to Europe and the rest of the world. There's some things that I miss. They don't have saltine crackers here. And I love a good saltine cracker. I fill my suitcase with saltines when I come back from the U.S.
Ain't nothing like a white cracker.
Exactly. A salty white cracker. That's what I like. A little bit of salt in there always makes it better. There's some things that we miss. We're not close to family, that kind of thing. But I miss not worrying about gun violence. You know, that's a nice thing not to have to worry about.
Why not? Why don't you have to worry about that over there?
Because nobody has guns over here. So, so there's not a problem with that. We don't have to have drills in our schools for shooter alerts and that kind of thing, because people don't have guns.
So, how do you protect yourself from the Allahu Akbar people over there?
Well, there's no need to. The rumors of places to go in London that aren't safe are greatly exaggerated. And when I say that, I mean that they're lies. There is no part of London that I have ever felt unsafe in or I haven't been able to go to.
So do you support the Second Amendment over here?
I'm not against the Second Amendment. I would be a little bit more conservative in my use of it. I wouldn't be against restricting people having, you know, machine gun type mass weapons of mass destruction. But I understand that having guns is a big part of the American culture, and nothing's going to change that. Even if it's not it wouldn't be my personal choice to have a gun, but I definitely don't think that people need to have access to guns the way that they do.
So do you live in a good area, a nice area over there?
I do. Unfortunately, we do live in a very nice area.
Well, no wonder you don't have to worry about it.
But they do have problems. There's no problem. There are gang problems in London. They do have an issue with knife crime here because
right.
People don't have access to guns, so they arm themselves with knives. But it's the same kind of problems that you have in any inner city. You've got issues of poverty and, you know, access to opportunity that leads people to have gang violence in the U.S., just like in the U.K.
I was going to ask. I know I've read and seen where there are a lot of knife stabbing over there.
Yeah.
Should they take away the people knives as well?
Well, I think that, obviously people will find weapons where they can find weapons, but I think that you don't see mass knife stabbings generally. That's not the same problem. So I think the difference is how quickly, people obviously can get in a car and drive a car into people.
Right.
You can't stop people from doing harm to other people. There's no question. But I do feel a lot safer knowing that people can't get access to a gun that can mow down hundreds of people in minutes.
Amazing. And so are the universities very PC over in the UK?
Yeah, we're having some of the same things with, you know, the Me Too movement and people being woke. And we're struggling to find our way through that, where we can be respectful to people who are different than us and speak in a way that's inclusive, but balance it with people getting ridiculously oversensitive. And then especially in the world of comedy, you know, our role is to say things that are controversial.
Right.
You know, and to say things that might be a bit shocking, even if maybe we're you know, I'm probably on, you consider me on the liberal side of the scale, but I might say things that don't sound liberal to be funny. And if you take that away, then you've killed stand-up comedy.
You're right. And so are you more liberal or conservative?
You would definitely consider me liberal. So I like to consider myself middle of the road, but I mean, yeah, liberal.
And what is a liberal?
Well, I mean, I guess you're talking about in the American context or in the UK.
Are they different? Is there a difference?
Well, up until recently, with all the things we've had happening here with Brexit, even the conservatives here were more liberal than American Republicans. Like American, just a normal, set aside Trumpism, but just a normal kind of traditional Republican in the UK would be considered really right wing. So their conservative party has generally been more like, you know, like sort of Hillary Clinton Democrat.
Oh, I see.
Conservative Party here. But we've shifted to the right as well with Brexit, and the Conservative Party's gotten much more to the right. But I'm definitely not that far over.
And do you still vote in America?
Yeah. Elections? So American citizens are required to pay taxes all over the world. So I still file my tax returns and I still get a right to vote.
Are you a citizen in the UK?
Yes. I'm a dual citizen.
You know, you're a dual
citizen. I get both passports. Yeah.
That's amazing, man.
It's pretty cool.
And so are the liberal women, the feminists, as insane over there as they are here?
I don't know if insane would be the word that I would use, but so no, I think, I don't know, it's definitely changed since I moved here. It used to be when it came to the UK 20 years ago, women did not identify as feminists at all. And I think that's, their people are more comfortable wearing that, and there's a more positive connotation to it now.
And are the men, the beta males, are they afraid of the women over there as they are here?
Well,
you know how men, yeah, they won't speak up to women. They'll let women just do anything. And when they date or live together or get married, the man become the boy and the woman become the mama. Is that happening there?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm wearing a bra and a dress, a skirt right now.
Just, are you?
Yeah.
Are you a transgender?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I think that I think that people are supportive of equal rights between men and women here, just like they are in the U.S. for the most part. I don't think that's going too far.
How about the blacks? Are they as angry and insane over there as they are here?
I've never heard them described as that. I mean, there's a different relationship with the community. A lot of the people that are of African descent that are here came over as part of the Commonwealth, like especially from like Jamaica and the Caribbean islands. So they came here in the 1950s and 60s for work. And then there's another kind of group of people that are more recently second generation from Nigeria. So it's African immigration to the UK is still a relative. I mean, there was a group that had been here always,
right?
But for the most part, major immigration is relatively new. Like people are second, first generation.
Do they hate the whites as the blacks hate the whites over here?
I haven't met too many people that seem to hate me, so I wouldn't be able to say. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's still people who are working against institutional racism in both countries. So,
and so
I think they've got a reason to fight against that.
Do the blacks rely on the government to take care of them, or are they independently taking care of themselves?
Well, I mean, the state welfare system here is much more robust than it is in America. So you've got, I mean, there's more people. Well, the country still, I think, I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but still the UK is like 80% white. So there's a lot more people on public assistance that are white than are people of color.
But for the blacks who are there, are most of them relying on the government?
I don't know the stats on that, but I mean, people access social care here, and it has a lot less stigma to it than it does in the U.S. People don't look at it as a shame if you have to go on assistance because, you know, they're not, I wouldn't call a socialist, but they're a lot more generous with their monies.
Oh, so the blacks are not embarrassed to be on the welfare?
I'm sure some people, everybody wants to strive and do better, but it's not the same as it is in the U.S. where people are like totally... You know, like I think there's shame associated with welfare in the U.S. It's you know, you failed or something if you haven't been able to, raise yourself out of that sort of poverty. And I don't think that's quite the same way here.
Amazing. So does it concern you that Muhammad is the most common baby name in London?
If that's true, no, not at all. I've got lots of friends that are Muslim. My daughter goes to school with people that are Muslim and Christian, and that's perfectly fine with me.
And why doesn't that concern you? Because Muslims don't like Christians and Jews. They think that we're all infidels.
I think there's a sector of people.
And so why is it that you're not concerned about that?
I think, London, there's a lot of closer relationship between Muslim communities and other communities than there were. Like in Seattle, I mean, before I left the U.S., I don't think I ever knew a Muslim person.
And that's
the job
good.
The job that brought me to the U.K. When I was working for universities, I traveled in the Middle East for 4 years. So I went all over the Gulf. I went to Pakistan, Bangladesh, recruiting Muslim students to come and study in London. And I was traveling there around 9/11 for 4 years, and I was always made welcome, felt safe, and was treated with respect and kindness. So I know there are Muslims who hate Christians, just like there's Christians that hate Muslims, but I never met one.
I don't know of Christians who hate Muslims, but I know that most Muslims hate Christians. Why is it that white people, I notice in this country, white people are so timid, the men and the women, and they pretend that that a threat is not around. It seems as though they try to go along just to get along, and yet they're beat up and raped and robbed and murdered, and just all kinds of things are happening to the whites, but yet they pretend it's not happening. Why is that?
Well, I mean, people get beat up, and bad things happen to people all the time, regardless of their color. I think that there's people who are white who are trying to maybe acknowledge white privilege and other things that have been associated with it, and you know, honor that and trying to come to terms with it. And it's awkward, and it's not always done very effectively, partly because of, I guess, white guilt or something. But it's hard sometimes for white people to talk about race. We don't know how to do it effectively.
Just talk about it, like everyone else does.
No, I agree with you in that. I mean, I think we should talk about it. If we talk about it more openly, and if people on both sides allowed that conversation to happen, that would be a good advancement.
They don't have to allow it to happen. You just do it. You don't need permission.
I mean, if we all gave ourselves permission to have those conversations without being overly sensitive, that would be a good thing. But I'm not afraid for myself as a white person or for my children. I think we're doing just fine, and hopefully more people are coming up, and you know, equality is an increasing thing for everyone.
Amazing. Well, you should be, because whites are the most hated species on this side of heaven, and especially white men. So let me ask. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say, we've done a lot to earn that title of being hated. Because I mean, so
you deserve to be hated.
I think that there's a legacy there that we're coming to terms with, and I think that that's appropriate.
Why do you, as a white man, deserve to be hated?
Deserving to be hated is too far, but I mean, I think that it's fair for us to acknowledge that white male privilege and white male dominance has led Western culture for a long time, and there's, you know, some bad things that were done in that name, and balancing that is fair.
And so you believe in white male privilege?
There's definitely white male privilege.
And so are you white male privileged?
Yeah, by default.
In what way? In what way are you privileged because you're white?
Well, I mean, I think that I don't have to have some of the – look at the rates of incarceration with African-American males. You know, people that get stopped in their cars and have problems with the police. I've been stopped by the police, and I never felt fear. I never had to deal with those things. I mean, even in the UK, there's the crime that's happening for the knife crime that's happening with black communities. And like you pointed out, I live in an affluent area. That's not a problem that I have or my children have. So
have you ever committed crime?
Nothing too outrageous.
So could that be the reason you have not gone to jail?
That could be a reason, but I've also been less looked at. Well, I guess I have committed crime because I've used a few bits of drugs here and there over the years.
You smoke pot?
Your limitations.
Did you get caught?
If you got caught, you get in trouble.
So did you get caught by the cops while using drugs?
No.
So could that be a reason that why you didn't go to jail?
That is possible. But also, I mean, there's issues with poverty and incarceration as well. And I've been lucky enough that I mean, my family were pretty poor when I grew up, but I've become I've got a lot of debt, but I'm middle class now.
So if black people didn't commit the crime, would they go to jail and do the time?
Of course, if people get caught, but I mean, if you look at, well, you look at the financial crisis, how many people went to jail over the banking crisis in 2008? There's one guy that went to jail.
If and all black people didn't commit to crime, would they go to jail?
Yes, there's an element. Of course, if people get caught committing crimes, they do go to jail.
So if black people didn't commit, if black people did not commit crime, would they go to jail?
But how many white people probably use drugs just as much as black people, but don't get caught?
I'm asking if black people did not commit the crime, would they go to jail?
Black people traditionally don't have the access to good representation to get off from something.
I'm asking if they didn't commit the crime, would they go to jail?
I think you have a better chance of getting caught for doing crime.
But you're not answering my question. I'm saying if they did not commit the crime, would they go to jail?
No, of course not.
Is that black privilege?
If that's black privilege, it's probably a privilege nobody wants.
But my point is, white people, some white people are pretending that there is such a thing as white privilege just to appease the blacks, rather than saying to the blacks, well, if you don't commit the crime, you wouldn't go to jail. Or if you work hard and control your life, you will live in a nice neighborhood. If you got married before having children, you wouldn't be so-called living in poverty, which they're not anyway. But why don't white people tell the truth about those things? Why go along with the lie?
I don't. Well, I think that it's not a lie. I think that there are, of course, there's issues of personal accountability, and people should be held to account for their actions and have a responsibility to try and raise themselves up.
But why don't you say that to the blacks who are whining and begging and complaining, but are refusing to live right? Well, why don't you say that to the blacks? As a white man, why don't you say that to them?
Well, I'm talking about it with you, and I'm happy to say it and share it with you.
Because, you see, I'm in agreement with the right thing. But if I was a whining, begging, blaming black, you wouldn't say it. You would go along with it.
I don't know if that's true. If it was in a form, I'd be happy to have a discussion with people. Personal accountability, as I would, but you can't just deny that there aren't structures in place that benefit people who are white. I just don't think that that's a fair argument to make.
Did you vote for the president, the Great White Hope?
Did I vote for President Trump?
Yes.
Oh, we might be losing each other.
We seem to be going in and out. You did not vote for the Great White Hope.
Okay. I did the Great Orange Hope. No, calling him white is a bit of a stretch, isn't it?
He's white. He's white. Why didn't you vote for him?
Because I think he's a liar and a racist. I mean, there's such a long list of things.
Why do you think he's a racist?
I think going back to the housing issues that he was charged with in the 1970s or 80s, I think the Muslim ban was racist. I think the way he talks about countries in Africa and calls them names that are pretty derogatory. I think that most of the policies he puts forward benefit his cronies, and he stokes fear of others to stay in power.
So let's kind of take one at a time. Sure. When he called the African countries that are sending their trash over here from those S-hole countries. Yeah. That's true. How is that racist?
Well, I don't think that's true. I think people who are coming from those countries, many of them are refugees seeking asylum, and America's always been a warm and welcoming place.
Are those S-hole countries, though?
Well, obviously, those countries have problems.
Are they S-hole countries?
I wouldn't call them that, no.
Why not?
They're countries that are in poverty and are coming up in the world, and every country has good things about it and bad things about it.
If they're not S-hole countries, why are the people trying to leave? Why are the refugees trying to leave if those countries are not S-hole countries?
But do you think that's a way a president should talk about other places?
That's not the point.
That's the question.
If they're not S-hole, yes, that's the way he should speak. It's the truth. I know that liberals love being lied to, but that's the truth. So if there are S-hole countries, if they're not S-hole countries, why are the people trying to come here?
there's no question there are countries that are lacking the opportunities that we have, lacking the wealth that we have. But I think calling them that is just, it's unnecessarily derogatory, and it's belittling the real crises in countries.
Did you hear him say that?
Did I hear him say what?
They're coming from asshole countries.
No, it was reported and widely.
Supposedly he said it behind closed.
He said it.
Supposedly he said it behind closed doors, right?
That's right.
And why would you believe he even said it? Because you didn't hear him say it.
No, but it was.
So why would you believe hearsay?
Do you think he said it?
I don't know. I hope he did. And mm-hmm. I hope he would say it publicly because it's the truth. And America was built on the principles of God. And we need a government that would be honest and not crooked like Lying Hillary. Mm-hmm. Well, am I right about that?
Well, God didn't choose her, so I guess that's
that's for sure. Are you a Christian?
Not actively, no. I'm Christian. I was raised as a Lutheran.
And what has the president said that is a lie?
Well, I don't know. Where do you want to start?
Number one.
The lie about his inauguration crowds, and then it kind of just went downhill from there. I think there's over 12,000 documented mistruths and misstatements that he's made.
Did you vote for Obama, the fallen Messiah?
I did.
And why he was a lie, he lied coming in and going out, scandal after scandal after scandal. Did you vote for him twice?
I did, yes.
Knowing that he is a liar, an apparent liar and a socialist, why did you vote for him, period?
Well, I think he's a long way from a socialist, and you say that as if it's a
no. He is a socialist, believe me. Why did you vote for him, knowing that he's a liar, and he hates white people, he hates Jews? Why did you vote for him?
Do you think he hated himself?
Because why did you vote for him? Absolutely, but why did you vote for him?
I generally have voted Democratic all of my life. I believe in the values of free choice, of taking care of people, using government to do what it can. And even though it's a messy path towards getting things done, just in general, probably aligned with most of what the Democratic Party stands for.
So you voted for him because he was a Democrat, and was it because he was black as well?
No, I mean, being black didn't have anything that I was excited to see a black president of the United States. I think that was fantastic.
Why? Black people don't do well. Black people don't run well. Look at the way they run cities and communities. They've all become ghettos. And Obama nearly turned America into a ghetto. Does that concern you?
But the economy was much, much stronger when he left office than when he took office.
So it's not true, but does it concern you that he nearly turned America into a ghetto?
No, because I don't believe he did.
Oh, he did. Mark my word. Okay. He did. Right. I need to take a short break, and I have just a few more questions I'd like to talk to you about. All right, folks, I'm talking to Eric McElroy. He's a stand-up comedian and writer, originally from Seattle, and now he lives in the U.K., Eric, how can people find you? You have a website or anything?
Yeah, I've got a website. It's ericmcelroy.com. It's an Eric's with an H because my great grandfather was Swiss. So it's E-R-I-C-H, McElroy. And I'm on Twitter under the same handle as well. So, yeah, I mean, I don't come to I don't know, people are mostly L.A. that listen to you, or you're everywhere
around the world, especially the U.K.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, you can find me in the U.K. I gig all over and in London and out of London and all around the country.
I appreciate that. So are you a people pleaser?
Well, by nature of having become a stand-up comedian means I definitely want people's approval because I stand up in front of people nearly every night that I can and beg them to laugh at me. So, yes, you could accuse me of being a people pleaser.
And do you censor your comedy?
I think, well, you find the boundary. If you say something that the audience, it's a dialogue and a conversation. So I wouldn't say that I censor my comedy, but I'm happy to choose my words carefully.
And why do you choose them carefully?
Well, I mean, I think, I did a bit in my show this year about my son when he was 8 years old, said the N-word. And as I developed the routine, I had to decide as I was doing the routine whether or not to say the word in the routine or not to say the word. And in the end, I decided not to, because it would have taken away from the point that I was trying to make about how we talked about that within our family and with my son. And in that kind of case, you know, you kind of have to make editorial decisions when you do your comedy about how which way you want to take it.
Are you afraid to be called a racist?
Well, I would hope I wouldn't be called a racist, because I don't think I am one.
Are you afraid to be called that?
I would not want to be a racist. And if someone called me a racist, it would be untrue.
Are you afraid to be called that?
No.
You're not afraid. Why are so many white people afraid of being called a racist, so they tiptoe around the blacks?
Why would anyone want to be racist? It's not a nice thing to be, and I wouldn't want to be. So I guess they don't want to be accused of being something they feel they don't. But I guess some people do get tied up in knots trying to think, well, am I doing something that's racist? And generally, if you're going, is this a racist thing I'm doing? That might be a red flag that you might be doing something racist.
What is a racist?
I think it's somebody who looks down on people based on the color of their skin. And I think it also adds an element of power. So if I have more power than a person of color and I exercise that power over them, then that is a racist act in my mind.
So most black people look down on white people. Are they racist?
If they were doing it. But I guess the issue that many black people would argue when I've read about this is that they're not in the position of power in the same way that a lot of white people are.
So most black people look down on white people. Are they a racist?
I think that they might be prejudiced rather than racist.
So when most black people look down on white people, mm-hmm. they are not racist.
I think I would call that prejudice, not racism.
When most white people look down on black people, are they racist?
It depends on the power dynamic, but it could be prejudice. But then if I act on that, then I think that's where it becomes racism.
I think just
generally looking badly at somebody who's different than you is a prejudice. And then when you have when you're in a position of power and then you use that to influence either way, white, black or whatever. So you could have a black racist person who is putting, you know, doing something bad to me or to someone who's white. But if they just don't like me because I'm white, I would call that prejudice, not racism. I make that distinction.
So when the blacks don't like the whites simply because they're white, is that racist?
I would call it prejudice. But you might call it racist.
But you wouldn't call it.
Do you see that I'm trying to make that differentiation in power? You could call it being racist.
Amazing. And so when Obama and Big Mama, you know who Big Mama Michelle is, right?
I do. I think she's great.
She's crazy?
Great.
Oh.
Fantastic.
She's great. Big. That's about it. But let me ask. She's greatly insane. But let me ask. When Obama was in the White House for 8 years, did he have power?
He did.
And when he encouraged the blacks to hate the whites, he divided the races. Was that racist?
I missed that speech. I didn't see when he said that.
Was that racist when Obama encouraged the blacks to hate the whites? Was that racist?
If he had done that, then it would have been racist. I never saw him do that.
Amazing. Are you saying that only white people can be racist?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it generally comes from a position of power.
So only white people with money can be racist?
No, you could be a white person without much money and be racist. And a black person could be racist as well. I'm not saying they can't be.
Oh, okay. So people like Oprah, you know who Oprah is? Oprah Winfrey?
How could you not know who Oprah is? I think every person on the planet knows who Oprah is.
People like Oprah and Barack Obama and all those people, they have money. Jesse Jackson, Louis Farrakhan. Could they be racist against white people?
Yes.
They could be. And could they be racist against blacks?
Well, I don't know. Is it racist when you're putting down someone of the same color as you? I don't know what you call that. Just poor behavior? I don't know. Can you have black-on-black racism?
So if a poor white person, a homeless white person, called a black person the N-word, is that homeless white person a racist?
I guess, is it racist? Is it prejudice? I don't know. You know, getting into that, it's bad.
If a homeless black person call a white person a white cracker, is that racist?
Again, I call it more prejudice, but the easy way to say it, it's racist. I mean, there's a fine line there.
Amazing. Amazing, man. So just two more words, question that I have to run. What do you think of censoring of conservatives on social media by tech companies?
I don't think that everyone has a right to be on social media. So I believe in free speech, and I think that that's one of the best things about America. We do not have free speech in the UK. The libel laws here are crazy, and I do have to monitor what I say, even on social media, and I think that's a bad thing. However, I don't think social media companies have because they're private companies, they have a right to choose who's on their platforms. But that doesn't mean that you don't have a right to say whatever you want to say, but you don't have a constitutional right to say it on Twitter or anywhere else.
And so you're okay with the censoring of conservatives on social media?
I think they have a right to say whatever they want to say, but they don't have a right to say it on social media.
Would you censor a conservative if you own a tech company?
I wouldn't isolate people based on conservatism. I would not want to have what could be labeled as maybe racist or violent views on a platform that I controlled. No.
That's amazing.
And but we don't have speech in the UK. I can't say that.
And so when the blacks call me Uncle Tom, if you ran a tech company and the blacks call me Uncle Tom and sellout and all that because I don't agree with all the mess that they're into, would you censor them or would you censor me?
Well, all of you could say what you want to say. But if they own their company, and if just like if you owned your company, like you get to decide who comes on your show, just like you, if you owned a social media company, you could decide who's on your social media. I'm not saying you can say whatever you want to say. You have the right to say that. I would never take that away from you, no matter even if I thought what you said was abhorrent and I disagree with what you say. You've got a right to say it, but you don't have a right to say it on Twitter or Facebook that are publicly owned companies.
If they were in the public square, should you be able to say what you want?
Yes, definitely.
One other thing I wanted to ask before you go here, Eric. You were censored by President Donald Trump. Am I right about that?
I was blocked on Twitter by President Trump, yes.
And why did he block you?
Well, I would tweet at him. I was never... I would send him, you know, what I thought were funny little replies to things that he tweeted. And I was never... you know, disrespectful. I never swore anything out. It was just trying to be, just poke a little bit. And I think it was about 2017, I was blocked. And then there was a court case, which he lost, that said because he was using real Donald Trump as his official platform as president, that it was wrong for him to block me from the town square, essentially. And that as an American citizen, I had a right to interact with my elected official. And he went to the Department of Justice and they removed the block on my account.
And that was done by liberal judges left over by Obama. Was it? Did they have a right to do that? Was that the right thing to do?
Well, I think so. I think people have a right to access their president. And if the president is doing the town hall on Twitter, then that's the town. Then I have a right to go to that town hall.
Are you married?
I am.
And are you the head of your wife?
No, you're equal in our marriage.
You're equal to a woman?
No, she's probably slightly better than me.
The woman is better than you?
Well, I think so. She's willing to live with me. I think that makes her that's a pretty good gift.
Beta male. So you're a beta male.
If that's what you want to call me, sure. I'm a beta male. But I'm proud of it.
But you're proud. You're proud to be a beta male.
Sure. I've never heard that term before, but it's not one we use here in the UK. I'll go with it.
And so how does your wife feel being married to a beta male? Is she unhappy with you?
Well, she hasn't given me permission to discuss that subject, so I'll have to check with her. I'll ask her and I'll come back to you. How's that?
Eric, I enjoyed talking to you.
It's nice to talk to you too, Jesse.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, it was all right.
It was amazing.
I hope it was good.
But you got to overcome the beta stuff. We need men back in the world. The world going to hell in a handbasket because the men are weak.
I think there's strength in weakness.
Really? And so do you tell your wife your problem?
Yeah, we share our problems with each other.
You share your problem with your wife?
Yeah.
What can she do about your problems?
Well, she's better educated than I am, and she's smart, and I trust her judgment.
Amazing. Thank you for coming on, man. That was fun.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. Amazing. 888-77-5377.